Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we're taking your phone calls this morning. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. In fact, we've already got a caller on the line. And if anybody can kick off the show and kick off the show right, it's Perry the Poet. Perry in Columbus. Let's kick off the show with one of your phone calls. Perry, what's on your mind this morning? Great to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. You know, what a pleasure to hear General Flynn speak the unfiltered truth on your airwaves. But I'm calling about the recent reductions on the punitive tariffs President Trump had in place on the Chinese Communist Party's dictatorship in mainland China. But first, I want to express my sorrow and sympathy for the predicament of the average Chinese person living under the thumb of modern-day slavery. Think about it. A truly Orwellian surveillance state. No voice in your government, no self-defense capability for you. You know, even their kitchen knives have to have CCP serial numbers on them. This is exactly the kind of authoritarian utopia the radical American left will force onto our republic if we ever allow mass confiscation of privately owned firearms. So how does this relate to heavy tariff rates on Chinese imports to America? President Trump's strategy to force our trading partners into renegotiating their tariff rates with threats of reciprocity in ours was long overdue, but it also had the added benefit of isolating communist China when they just reflexively pushed tariff rates much higher instead of coming to the table to cut a fairer trade deal with us. But here's the point, Aaron. The CCP will never live up to any trade deal they sign with us anyway, because they're too busy trying to destroy us from within. Dozens of types of cybercrimes anywhere they can hack through the firewalls. Their partnership with Mexican cartels to flood our nation with deadly drugs. And a network of spies in our universities and vital industries to facilitate massive amounts of intellectual property theft. The list goes on and on. Our staying decoupled from China with embargo-level tariffs on them until late summer would have likely collapsed their economy and started an internal revolt against the CCP. There's poetic justice for you. I think letting the CCP off the hook is a tactical mistake, and the only reason I can think of for President Trump to have done it is because Xi Jinping just might invade Taiwan to distract his own people from the misery of living as communist slaves.
Well, and speaking of the communist Chinese, China expert Gordon Chang, he'll be in your town. He'll be in Columbus 1 week from tomorrow, and then in Miles City the day after. I'd imagine you'll be there, right, Perry?
Well, you know, sir, I wish I could, but I had other plans. I wanted y'all to get a little taste of what I would say if I was standing in his place.
Well, there you go. All right, Perry, thanks for the call.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Tim in Billings, stand by. We'll get to your phone call here in just a few minutes. But first, I got to sneak on Tony Perez. Tony Perez is a realtor in Great Falls, Montana. And if you guys missed it last night, I had to get this story on our Montana Talks website. I saw some great photos on the Montanica Facebook page. So here's the story. PETA, you know, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA is prepping for an attack on downtown Billings restaurants today during the noon lunch hour. But Great Falls just smoked PETA out with massive support for a local barbecue joint after PETA staged an event in Great Falls just yesterday. Tony Perez was there. He shared so many of the great photos. What a remarkable turnout in support of the Smoked American Barbecue there in Great Falls. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, Great Falls showed up yesterday. It was a fast and furious organization, an event, and I just was overwhelmed. I couldn't believe how many people showed up on, and the Kavanaugh's and the Smoked. I mean, they are truly loved. That restaurant is fantastic. They are now 2018. You know, they come in there and they are truly a downtown staple. We love them.
Yeah, so PETA sent out some press release. I missed the one before the Great Falls event, but they said they were going to bring in their Hell on Wheels pig transport truck with fake squeals and more, and they were going to protest basically meat and protest pork in front of this, you know, locally owned small business. And the public came out with massive support. I know Billy Olson, I was talking with her earlier. She had great things to say about the crew down there. Very patriotic. Many of them serve our country in the military at the barbecue joint there. But talk about just the turnout, the massive amount of support that people showed up.
Oh, just it's tremendous. I mean, we got wind of this. I saw it on Smoke social media on Saturday, I think, is when they got wind of it. And it was through KRTV. They actually called them and gave them a heads up that they were coming and published this schedule. And I was kind of dumbfounded, to be honest with you. It's like, why is PETA coming to Great Falls, Montana to attack this little restaurant? It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it doesn't matter. We just have to respond. And so we started brainstorming some ideas, and a couple buddies and I, we started putting things together. And I don't know, it was Tuesday when I went into the restaurant. They're literally a stone's throw from my office, so I'm in there quite a bit. And I went in there and said, you know, what are we going to do about this? And asked them if they should maybe put together a social media campaign, something quick to try and get some support. And their son, Tranty, asked me, he says, you know, you put it together, get it rolling, we'll share it, and let's see what we can make happen. And I'm telling you what, that sucker took off. It's just a true testimony to these guys and the amount of support. And Great Falls is a blue-collar, American-proud community. You know, we eat meat here. We hunt. We fish. It's kind of who we are.
That's what we do. Yeah, this wasn't just an attack on a barbecue joint in Great Falls and a great one at that. This was an attack on our whole way of life, agriculture, you name it. Yeah, you were telling me yesterday how the line went all stretched for an entire block at one point. What was it, 2,000 pounds of meat in 3.5 hours they went through?
Yeah, he threw 2,000 pounds of meat into the smoker. I don't know what the actual yield was coming out, but that's a lot of meat to go through in 3.5 hours. It was nonstop. And the thing is, you know, these things have a tendency sometimes to be emotional and cause, you know, all sorts of unkempt feelings to pop up. But, I mean, the crowd was 100% respectful. The gentleman that drove the van was a super nice guy. I went and introduced myself to him. The crowd was respectful. Everybody was patient. It was hot, man. Yesterday it was absolutely gorgeous here in Great Falls. And believe it or not, we didn't have a ton of wind. It's hard to believe, but we didn't have it. And so those folks stood out there and waited in that line in the sun and got a nice suntan, and they waited for some fantastic food. And it was worth it just to see it all happen.
So I was looking for a number for comparison here. 2,000 pounds of meat in about 3.5 hours. I looked up mild coverage from the Wolf Point Wild Horse Stampede. The Catholic burgers there, they planned for selling 1,000 pounds of burgers over the weekend for a whole weekend. And that's a lot of burgers. That's a lot of people there. And so, but that puts that in comparison. You guys doubled that in 3.5 hours to stand up to PETA. It'll be interesting to see if downtown Billings rallies around their businesses. It might be hard to top what Great Falls just pulled off yesterday, though.
Well, I just tell them, guys, I mean, I think they got a couple more stops in Montana. I'm not sure. I need to go back and find their schedule. But, I mean, just look what we did. I mean, you guys can do it, too. These other places, man, just follow suit, set it up, and get the support because it's out there for you. That's why you're in business to begin with. So,
I got to share this one because it was just hilarious. You and I talked briefly on the phone last night, and you were telling me there's a county office building across the street. And so you said there were a lot of folks from the county office that showed up. You said, hell, we even had animal control show up and eat today.
Yeah, it was those gals showed up. They were on their lunch hour, you know, and they showed up, and they want, you know, they were coming to smoke, and it was towards the end of the event, and somebody had made a joke about squealing pigs, and they says, well, don't worry, we know how to round them up if they're squealing pigs running around, and they were, you know, they were standing in line and just waiting and doing their part, but it was pretty funny. So it's great when animal control shows up and Peter's across the street with a bunch of squealing pig noises.
And who is your buddy with the DJ service that put on a good show?
Oh, that was Corey. Yeah, Corey Pierce. He showed up and brought he brought just a little bit of his setup, but it was more than loud enough. So Corey Pierce, Perfect Sound DJ. He is a super busy man, fantastic guy. He donated his time yesterday to come down and set up and
good stuff.
Cover up that squealing pig.
Well, Troy Perez, thanks for your time. Thanks for sharing the story. Thanks for rallying behind these Montana businesses.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back into your phone calls we go. 406-294-0970. Carol in Billings called in. She says, where will the pita truck be? They're going to be in front of the Jake's restaurant, Jake's downtown Billings, at noon. And so Billy Olson and I think Tony Perez mentioned it there as well. Their recommendation from their success in Great Falls is show up early. Fill those parking spots early, get in line, and whether you're going to support Jake's, get a nice steak at Jake's or a good burger there, you go to the Brew Pub, Proof Donuts. I think they have a bacon donut you could have some fun with here today. But, yes, downtown Billings is where they're going to be, near the Jake's restaurant is where PETA is going to be set up. So if you want to go out and show your support and protest PETA, there you go. Lightbrows in Hardin. After I posted this story on our Montana Talks website, Lightbrows and Hardin said, is PETA taking requests for protests to get more business at different restaurants? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, frankly, downtown Billings, they should have, the city of Billings, the Downtown Billings Association, they should have jumped on this story even sooner, because this could be a huge boost for downtown businesses. But Lightbrows, maybe PETA. You know, think about it. If you own a restaurant in Hardin, you own a restaurant in Miles City, and people find out that PETA's coming to town, man, a crowd will show up. You'll have some great business. Cindy sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Somewhere in northeast Montana. Maybe, I think Cindy messaged us from Glasgow, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, Cindy says this, the PETA protest in Great Falls didn't quite turn out as they had hoped. Hilarious. We do love our meat. Had they turned a herd of pigs loose, they would have seen how the pigs love meat too. And then, Kelly in Glasgow says, the first time I ever saw a PETA protest was at the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas. Those rodeo animals are the best cared for animals anywhere, and they love their jobs. So that was from Kelly in Glasgow. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
So I have good news for the Trump administration. I have campaigned, ran, and elected myself as the magistrate supremacy judge of my own fiefdom, my own sovereign nation, and I declare supremacy over any other court in the United States, and I have put a stay on any of these rulings against the executive branch doing what the executive branch is constitutionally directed to do. So this parking court, this traffic court, this small claims court judges that keep throwing out their declarations, I have as much authority to tell the executive branch what they can and can't do according to the Constitution as these little wannabe dictators of their own little fiefdoms.
Yeah, every day there's one story, two stories, maybe three about a judge says, like, you've got judges trying to dictate American foreign policy when they have no constitutional authority whatsoever to do that. Now, judge is trying to to run international economic policy as well. Give me a break. What a bunch of prima donnas.
Exactly right. I mean, know your role, stay in your lane, understand that you're not that important. Just because you're a liberal activist judge doesn't mean you're that important. You're just a cog in the wheel, just like everybody else. And hopefully the people of their, you know, districts or wherever these places are at, they see exactly how insane these people are and they vote them out.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's an obstruction of the process of the executive branch of the United States government. And they should be able to, you know, be held to account somehow.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the inmates running the asylum, which was basically the point you made, John Jackson, the Joker on X, just shared a tweet. I just retweeted something he said about the inmates running the asylum in the Democrat Party right now. I got to get your take on this, Tim. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, they did their big rally in Missoula, and they called it their Fight the Oligarchy, the Oligarchy. I don't know how many times he said oligarchy. But once was too many times. So they did their entire rally in Missoula was about fighting the oligarchy. Well, now the Washington Post came out with a big report with a whole list of words that Democrats should not say so they don't sound like a bunch of elitist weirdos to the American people. And guess what one of the words on their list is?
Oligarchy.
Of course. Ding, 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 ding.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. And they're the biggest hypocrites of all, you know?
So they flew in on their private jet. They flew in on their private jet.
Bernie Sanders to stand online, you know, everybody else stands in line, but Bernie Sanders, he stands online for American Airlines. Well, bud, if you're all about, you know, equality for everybody, equal for everybody, then get on Socialist Air, you know, go find some airline where everybody pays the same price. Everybody gets the same seat. Everybody waits in line. Go do that. You're not that important either, Bernie. Guess what? You're not that important either.
Speaking of hypocrites, I call this the supersized super PAC hypocrite. So remember Steve Bullock when he was the governor of Montana? He railed against dark money in politics. He criticized super PACs, but the moment he lost his taxpayer-funded job, what job did he take? A super PAC job, running a super PAC. Well, flip-flop flat top is back in the news. John Tester, he told us he was just going to go back to the farm. Aw, shucks. Then he took an MSNBC job, and now he just took another job as a senior advisor to, guess what? A super PAC. So here's another anti-super PAC politician, the supersized super PAC hypocrite.
Well, maybe then we'll use Bullock's sister to put together a PR firm through her advertising agency, and they can sell the farm. John Tester could sell his farm, and it could actually go back into production and be a profitable, productive piece of Montana ground rather than his weed-infested, you know, whatever he's got going on up there. And some proud Montana could take that property and put it into production and become, you know, profitable. Well, he can rock on his butt, and they can use a panoramic lens to sit him on the screen for MSNBC.
He was never a moderate. He was never going to go back to the farm. We didn't need a bill to secure the border. We just needed a new president. And so many in the Montana media lied about it all. And that's why that story matters, because it exposes the hypocrites in the media who constantly covered for that guy. All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Phone lines are open. What do you want to talk about? Give us a call, 406-294-0970. Kenny in Helena, listening to KCAP. Kenny, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron. Love your show, man. Love your attitude.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate you. I want your opinion on this. About a week and a half now, the skies have been littered in tic-tac-toe, you know, the forbidden word of chemtrails, but we all know it's true now. They can't hide it. What is your opinion on how heavy they've been doing it lately, and the Florida legislation, I believe, is going to be passing some stuff to just ban that stuff? What's your opinion, brother?
Well, What do you think? So RFK Jr., was it HHS? Who does? I understand somebody recently, maybe it was the Department of Justice. I need to go back and find this information. I think I shared it on X. They recently announced that there's an investigation going against one specific company that they're doing basically what the chemtrail crowd has claimed has been happening, and they're investigating this company for spraying these chemicals in the sky. Have you heard about that? Do you know what I'm referencing right now?
I've heard a little bit about those things. I don't know specific companies in that regard, but I do know that those of us who are trying to live healthy lives, and you can't get it out of your skin if it's falling out of your sky, but we can get rid of that of our bodies if we don't eat it. But if it's coming out of the skies, we can't control that.
Well, so I guess two thoughts that I have. One, there was a bill that came up in the Montana legislature. I don't know if you heard about this. There was a bill in the Montana legislature that would basically, well, let me take a step back. Last legislative session, not this year, not this spring, but the spring before, there was a bill where it would have allowed the DNRC, the Montana DNRC, to do cloud seeding in the Big Hole Valley near Dillon, Montana, right? If you remember that. And so a lot of people came out against that because they're like, hey, no, we don't want people spraying our skies. We don't want people doing cloud seeding. And so, well, why would they have needed a bill to do cloud seeding if they were already doing it? That would be my first question, right? And we actually asked the head of the DNRC at the time about that. So what that tells me is that, okay, they're not doing cloud seeding in Montana. That's why somebody was trying to change the law to allow them to do that in the Big Hole. Now, cloud seeding is one thing, but the idea that now every airplane with every contrail behind it is somehow dumping chemicals upon the entire country and across the entire, I think that's where people get skeptical. Now, we know that cloud seeding is a capability because there was a North Dakota company. The South Koreans reached out to this North Dakota company when they were hosting the Olympics because they were like, hey, can you make some snow for us? Can you do some cloud seeding to make some snow for us? We know some places do this, right? But I think where people get skeptical of the people that get whipped up into a frenzy about chemtrails is that they think that every single contrail in the sky is now airplanes. It's this massive, huge conspiracy where every airplane in the sky is dumping chemicals on us. That's where people get skeptical. But back to this most recent legislative session, there was a bill that would have prevented something like that from happening, right? And the legislature, there were a handful of folks that voted against it. So the bill banning those types of practices did not get across the finish line. And I guess my take on that was, look, if I had been serving in the Montana legislature, why not vote to ban something like that? If it's not happening, who cares if you ban it, right?
Very well true. Is there any information you can give us listeners on that subject matter?
Oh man, we've talked about it a number of times over the years. But on that one, I guess it'd be interesting. Who was the sponsor of that bill? Maybe the sponsor would call in. Maybe the sponsor's listening right now. Whoever had the bill to ban that type of activity from happening. Call in right now. 294-0970. Thanks for calling.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
Today, the Montana Stock Growers Association's mid-year meeting kicks off in Butte, America. Phillips County rancher Leslie Robinson is president of the Stock Growers.
So our mid-year meeting, we try to move it around the state, so it's great to be here in Butte. This is a beautiful facility. Glad to be here. And our mid-year meeting is when we have our interim policy that's created. So we have our committee meetings and our general sessions with speakers, and it's just a great time to interact with people and network with people from around the state.
Attendees will hear from featured expert speakers on weather, markets, policy, and ag research, along with Stock Growers Producer Profitability Initiative to keep ranchers ranching.
It's important. It's the most important thing. We have to keep the ranchers on the ground in production, keep the land in production. And we went as an executive committee to D.C. a couple months ago to talk about just what you were talking about. And I have gone to D.C. three times this year. And every time our message is we need to renew the tax bill that is going to sunset at the end of this year. So in the reconciliation bill is a lot of the things that we've been asking for. And I think that was the top thing that was talked about at our producer profitability meetings.
From Butte, I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
The list of words the Washington Post says Democrats should no longer say. I had some fun chatting with our friend David Noble about that one, because David Noble and I, we would do like a woke update of the week, and almost every word that the Washington Post is now telling Democrats not to use was at some point featured in our woke update of the week. And so anyway, I'll share a snippet that tells you some of the words the Washington Post says that Democrats should not say, including oligarchy. The oligarchy. Yeah, stop saying that. You just sound like a bunch of elitist snobs. But then again, you know, if you are an elitist snob, you're going to so easily sound like one. I mean, that's who Bernie Sanders really is. He's an elitist snob. Maybe he seemed like a nice guy 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, however long that dinosaur has been around. But he's an elitist snob. That's exactly what he is. That's why he, you know, scoffed at anybody who dared question him for flying into Missoula on a private jet during his oligarchy tour. Next up on the phone lines, and by the way, the phones are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you call right now, we should be able to get you on. Let's go next to Jim in Great Falls, listening to KINX. Jim, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just had to take a break from killing weeds that all the out-of-state license plates have packed in to laugh and chuckle that you were forced again to talk about chemtrails and to listen to your involvement on your answers. You got to get out of the office more. It's not a rocket science to look out to see the ones that leave multiple trails and those flying at the same time that aren't playing tic-tac-toe, but you're not in the office too often. So anyway, whatever it is, they ain't wasting fuel on just going from one airport to the other with people. They're unmarked planes, and they're leaving some nasty shit out here 2 to 3 days.
Oh, careful with the language. Hold on. Watch the language, because we got the FCC here, unfortunately. So
it's all the out-of-staters have moved in, and I'm evolving in the wrong direction.
So I thought about you this morning. I was chatting with David Noble. He read this book called The Crazies, and apparently it was a Wall Street.
Thanks.
It's a Wall Street Journal reporter who wrote this book about the wind farm they were trying to put up near Big Timber, and how locals and, you know, Crow tribe folks came out against it because they didn't want that massive eyesore in front of sacred ground. Imagine that.
Well, everything, the reason people moved here and they love the pristine Montana is no longer here, just in a short, even what they've done in 2 years' time. They're just knocking down every old homestead, hauling all the equipment in to recycle for a price of iron, copper, or whatever. And so your history, your heritage that wasn't hurting anything out there in the middle of the prairie where your great-great-grandfather grew up, instead, they pick up the important cabins and say, you can't touch them anymore. We're going to make money. And I think that's the only thing they're voting this chemtrail thing in there in Helena is because they're not getting paid. That's all it is. They got to cut into the bureaucracy.
Well, no, I just think most people think that it's a crazy conspiracy theory, and so they didn't want to, you know, just spend their time voting on legislation banning something that they don't think is happening. But my point is, if it's not happening, then who cares if you vote to ban it?
Well, the thing is, there's just too much. You're out here every day, and I watch planes do some awfully strange things that is just unbelievable, and you can't explain it. You can't. It's invisible. They're doing something, and people are talking about it, outlawing it in states, and looking at clouds from satellite imagery on how storms move in a particular way, and you look next to them, it's just tic-tac-toe of this stuff. So whether they're steering it or they're trying to cover the UV rays to the crops or...
And you talk about people getting paid. Look, there's groups. They fund billboards. I've seen them on I-90. Look, there's people that make money getting people whipped up into a frenzy and pushing things like this, too. So that's why we just got to be skeptical of everything. Be skeptical of the government. Don't just say, well, the government says it isn't happening and then assume that it's not happening. But also be skeptical of these grifters out there that want to, you know, take your money, get you whipped up into a frenzy so they can go raise money pushing this bill or that bill. So my question was, what was this? Was it a DOJ investigation? So I went to Grok. I said, what is the DOJ investigation looking into a company allegedly spraying chemtrails behind planes? Because, again, if it was happening at a widespread level, then why are they only targeting one company doing, you know, specific activity? Why aren't they targeting a whole host of people doing a whole host of activities here, right? This is Grok. It looks like they're pulling from several different sources here. Apparently, it's the EPA, not the DOJ, that is investigating a company called Make Sunsets, which is a company launching balloons to release sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere for solar geoengineering to reflect sunlight and try to cool the planet. So the EPA's probe is focusing on the environmental impact and legality of these actions. So that's what the EPA probe is. So I thought that one was interesting because, yeah, I think it was a Trump administration official who announced on X that they were launching an investigation into that company in particular. All right. Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like these chemtrail callers go in waves. It's like there's this group list and then all of a sudden, I know Jim's great. I always enjoy getting Jim's phone calls, but some of these chemtrail callers, it's like they're reading from the script and it's like these paid groups are out there. Oh, hey, today's the day we're going to call and try to talk about nothing but chemtrails. And then you get these people reading from a script. All right, real quickly here, then we'll get back to more of your phone calls here. The words that Democrats shouldn't say. It comes from the Washington Post. And by the way, Fox News, in this audio clip that I'm going to play for you here, they actually had a Democrat consultant weighing in on this. And she was like, oh, yeah, totally agree. They should stop saying this, even though they would have lectured you for making fun of these words just a couple of years ago.
So here's some of the words that the Washington Post points to in terms of words that the Democrats should probably ditch. Oligarchs being one of them, food insecurity another, equity, intersectionality. People say I'm intersectional. I'm not quite sure what that means. Latinx, which even Latinas and Latinos hate, and gender fluid.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that Mean Girls line, stop trying to make fetch happen. Stop trying to make that garbage happen. I don't even know what it means. But look, there is a brain rot going on in the Democratic Party, and it was sort of highlighted by that first article at AOC, and Bernie thinks they need to double down on it. And not move away from it. And let's be honest with it. Half of these words were created by predominantly white people at liberal arts universities across the country. They don't speak to the normal people. And that might play well at cocktail parties on Martha's Vineyard. It doesn't play really well in the real world. But it's brought to you by the same intelligentsia that told us that Tim Walz could appeal to men the same way that Donald Trump from Jamaica, Queens could.
Great list of words. When I shared that with our friend David Noble, he said, you know, they left out some words, though, because when we've done our woke updates of the week, we've covered so many of these stupid woke words over the years. A couple that he referenced, let's see, niblets. Niblets was one word. Niblets is the gender-neutral term that the woke left wants you to use for nieces and nephews. You can't say nieces and nephews. Oh, I'm going to my niece's graduation. Going to my nephew's graduation. No. It's got to be gender neutral. You're going to your niblets graduation. Freaking hysterical. The other one is unhoused. You're not supposed to call somebody homeless. You're supposed to call them unhoused. Hey, this is great. We got some callers on the phone lines here. I see we've got Bob in Lindsay, Montana. I'm assuming this must be state senator now, State Senator Bob Phelan. I'm assuming that's who this is. Bob, was that your bill? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for Carl for letting me know.
What's that? Right. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Let me know that you needed. They wanted to talk to the guy that was the sponsor, so that's why I called him.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. So you must have missed the earlier phone call and then my response. So somebody brought up the topic of chemtrails, And right. And I mentioned how there was a bill in Helena. I remember reading about it, and it would have banned a practice from happening in Montana. And there were some people that voted against it because they said, it's not happening. Why are we going to vote to ban it? And my response was, well, if it's not happening, then what's wrong with voting to ban it from happening, right?
Right. Exactly. I agree. You know, but if it's not happening, why are they doing it? I've gotten so much positive or unpositive, maybe, whatever you want, however you want to say it, from Missoula, Bozeman, Kalispell. They have the crosshatches over their cities, you know. So, and I know what it's like here in eastern Montana. They're doing the same thing here. So, anyway, so that's what I know there. So that's just what.
Hold that thought. Yeah, I got to take another quick break here. So you're hearing, you know, callers, people from across the state that say they're concerned about this. Okay, hold that thought. Bob Phelan will come back to you after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great. I see we got, looks like Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle on the phone line as well. That's what I love about this show is... You know, we had a phone call come in earlier, mentioned the topic of chemtrails, and that'll happen from time to time. I think the group that's out there trying to raise money by pushing the chemtrail deal, I think that every now and then they're like, hey, you guys should call into these radio shows and talk chemtrails. But so as a result, then you get, you know, because you've got an organized group out there pushing this issue, yeah, you're going to hear from people across the state that will look in the sky and think, oh, those contrails are chemtrails. But again, my point is, when the bill came up before the Montana legislature, if it's not happening, then what's the problem with banning it? And so it's so great that we got a phone call from State Senator Bob Phelan, who was the author of that legislation. Oh, he's not there anymore. Okay, I was going to go back to Bob. My question for Bob was going to be, okay, I get it. You get, you know, an organized group of activists that are on their email list, and so they start calling lawmakers, and they start calling officials, and they start calling talk radio shows, and start screaming about a subject. So I get it that there's some people that are concerned about it, but here's the bigger picture, though, is that, oh, good, Bob's back on the phone. So, Bob, this was the kind of the follow-up question I had, which is, the problem is right now we have seen so many lies come out of our federal government and so much has been exposed that now people don't believe the government when it comes to anything. So, nope. So they believe the government zero, squat, and they have very good justification for not believing anything coming out of our federal government. Have you heard from any experts, whether it's in the Montana DNRC, Montana anything, that have backed up these claims that the contrails in the skies are chemtrails?
No, but how many jets have you seen? Let me ask you this. How many jets have you seen with a chemtrail behind it? You see, you do. My point is, you do see that, or there's jets with no chemtrails. So why is there chemtrails? You know, if they're not doing what the people, I don't know what they're saying because I haven't seen your program here, but I guarantee you that they're doing what they're saying because I've read too much stuff, you know, and...
Yeah, I know, a while back we had somebody from the National Weather Service on, and the topic came up, and they explained how, well, yeah, the differences in atmospheric conditions on a given day basis, the temperature in that level of the atmosphere, that altitude can change, so that can determine whether there's a trail or not, or how much of a trail or not. So there's a lot of different factors that determine why you might see the contrail today versus tomorrow. But, yeah, either way, Bob, appreciate appreciate your phone call. I'm going to try to sneak on Representative Jerry Schillinger out of circle here as well. But yeah, State Senator Bob Phelan out of Lindsay, thanks for calling in. He was the author of that bill that would ban any practices like that from happening. Let's see. Let's go to Jerry next. Jerry, thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. And actually, I called in. I didn't know if Bob would be within earshot or not. I knew he had been the sponsor of that bill, and so I was going to kind of cover for him there. But I appreciate you covering this topic. And I would just say from being out here all the time, too, that there certainly seems to be a difference between a contrail and a chemtrail. And the contrails, typically, they just appear within a few minutes behind these jets. And the contrails, they last for a significant amount of time, and they diffuse them, I guess you could say. They spread out, and our nice sunny mornings that we start with, within an hour or two, we have this thin overcast. So there certainly seems to be some connection between the two, and I'm not sure why we don't get any information from people that should know.
Well, so I think the thing is if this were actually happening, if this, you know, and here's the challenge is, like I said to Bob, is that we have seen so much fraud, waste, and abuse out of this federal government, and especially after COVID-19, especially after the Russia collusion hoax. I mean, we have seen how intelligence agencies have been weaponized against the American people, so much more during the last 4 years in particular, that now it makes people wonder, man, what else are they not telling us about? Or what other conspiracy theories out there are actually true? And so I think that's why something like this has even more legs here recently. But if any administration were to expose it, it would be the administration of Donald J. Trump, RFK Jr., and crew.
Yeah, I agree. And it is a real shame, isn't it, that we can't trust what comes out of our government. But it certainly has been a real issue over the last number of years that they destroyed their credibility along with most of the lamestream press as well.
Yeah, and most of the lamestream press continues to destroy their credibility. They didn't say, well, we got it wrong last year. We got it wrong over the last 4 years. We got COVID wrong. We got the Russia collusion hoax wrong. All right, we're going to do it right. We apologize. We're going to fix it. We're going to move forward. No, they're just doubling down on the same anti-Trump propaganda, the anti-Republican, anti-conservative propaganda.
Well, that's right, and that's why we appreciate your program, and that it gives all of us a chance to come together and voice our opinions, at least, and I think that get a lot of facts out there, and so your coverage of whether it be the state legislature or other issues is certainly appreciated.
Well, you're too kind, and it's your phone calls that make all the difference, so we appreciate greatly. Appreciate your service. Thanks, Jerry.